Laughing Eyes Kennel presents The Gypsy Musher with Iditarod and Yukon Quest veteran Hugh Neff. The Gypsy Musher will share stories from the trail, fortune-telling, and memories of mushing years past. Follow The Gypsy Musher on Twitter and visit our website at gypsymusher.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto hosting for Hugh Neff. Hugh is out on the Iditarod Trail and doing pretty well. I believe he's in the 21st position in Unicolead at the time, and it is Monday, March 12th. So the first few mushers will start coming into Nome very shortly into the finish line, and Hugh should follow within a day or so after that. But today we're going to talk to probably one of mushing's biggest fans. I know he's a huge fan of Laughing Eyes Kennel and Hugh Neff, but just about everybody else. I tell you what, this guy, he roots for everybody, so he is a true mushing fan. His name is John P. Larson Johnson. John, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, Robert. How you doing?
Pretty good. Thank you very much for joining us. I know you're a big-time Laughing Eyes Kennel fan, Gypsy Musher fan, Hugh Neff fan, but like I said in the intro, you are just a fan of mushing, and we need a heck of a lot more of that. You know, a lot of people follow it on the internet and, you know, are so-called armchair mushers or virtual mushers, but you really live this stuff, don't you?
Well, yeah, growing up here in Fairbanks, you know, the quest, flip-flopping the start and finish here every other year. I mean, when it's 50 below, that's what we got to do. And anything that pops up, and just been hooked over the years on the Yukon Quest, no better thing to watch and be a part of.
And I know that you've got a heck of a story to tell about Hugh and how you guys met and got involved. And you've been one of his good friends and a big supporter of him in the last few years. Do you care to share that story with us?
Sure. Well, my father-in-law knew him back from the 90s, met him up at the Yukon River Bridge there. And I guess they boated in from Beaver in the middle of a rainstorm, and he was working, I guess, at the lodge there. And all Hugh remembered when he met him was he come in there out of a rainstorm with the biggest smile on his face he'd ever seen. And ever since then, they'd known each other, and it wasn't until 09 when he finished second down here in Fairbanks that I'd met him. And after that, you know, a little bit here and there, me and Walter talk about someday helping out Hugh Neff. And then, unfortunately, Walter passed away in October 2010 there. And ever since then, you know, we've been talking back and forth on Facebook. And I was truly blessed to have Hugh call me and ask me to help him on a couple races this year. And it's all coming together. It just seems pretty awesome that Hugh Neff would ask me to help him out just from a little connection there between him and Walter. And Walter always told us that Hugh named his dog after him there, old Walter, his famous dog there. And he is a pretty famous dog, but come to find out, Walter was just pulling everybody's chain, And that's the way Walter was. He loved to pick and play, and always a character, that guy. And come to find out, it was Walter Payton, you know, the man, Walter Payton from the Chicago Bears. And it's just been clicking ever since then. And I've been a fan of mushing even way before I met Hugh, but it's just Hugh's been a real huge inspiration on just the way he loves people and loves Alaska, and I just got a lot of respect for the guy.
And you know, John, he's one of those guys. It's the, you know, the typical musher story. He comes up to Alaska with a few dollars in his pocket, not much else, maybe a backpack, and, you know, trying to come up here and live the dream. And the next thing you know, he's racing there with the native folks, and you know, Now he won the Yukon Quest this year, has done very well in both the Yukon Quest and the Iditarod in the last few years. And, you know, he's becoming famous, but he'll be the first to tell you that he wants to remain humble. He wants to do this not to win, but for the people. I know you've heard him say that several times.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the love, man. You know how it goes. He loves those dogs. He loves the outdoors. Loves being out there. And it sure must be nice to be able to do all that. I've lived here since 1979, and I've never been in a race. So this is my way to really get out there and support and just feel that love.
And the love that it is, you know, the bond that mushers have with their dogs is something very extraordinary. And it's hard to capture that until you've been involved with it just a little bit. And we always talk about it on this show and other shows. We call it the mushing bug or the mushing virus or the mushing sickness. Once you get wrapped around in it, it's pretty hard to let go of.
That's for sure. And the more and more, the last few years I've been involved with Hugh, I'm getting hooked even more and more and wanting to get myself a little team going and start racing. And I should have been doing it the whole time, you know.
Yeah, and you know, John, it doesn't take, this is mainly for our listeners that you know this, but, you know, it doesn't take a dog yard of 30 or 40 or 50 dogs. You can get out there with four or five dogs in the backyard and have just as much fun as if you have 50 dogs in the yard, can't you?
Oh, sure can. That's the truth. And I met a guy through Hugh there, the guy, Jesse Holmes, that him and Hugh went to Eagle on that trip this fall, and Jesse hooked me up with a little leader named Queenie, and she's been a blast pulling the kids around. And, you know, I'm slowly getting there, and it feels pretty good to actually be able to do that now. I was blessed. Somebody gave me a sled, and it's all just kind of coming together.
So let's talk about your involvement with the Gypsy Musher and mushing in general. I know you guys hooked up with a race. Was that this year he did the Gin 200 this past December, early January? Is that the first time you helped handle for Hugh?
Yeah, it was. I believe it was in January there. And Hugh was down in Milwaukee, I guess, on one of his school tours. And I get another call, and he says, "Can you go out to Tok and pick up my buddy Jesse Holmes and my dogs and bring them down to Paxson for this race?" You know, it was kind of short notice, but yeah, I said, "Sure enough, I will." And next thing you know, I was on my way down there, and he wasn't even in the state. He was flying back like the night before, and I picked Jesse and the dogs up, and we were heading for Paxson. Met him down there like an hour before the mushers meeting, and it was on.
You know, that's pretty typical. I know he's not the only one that flies by the seat of his pants that way. I've done that many a times. Driven into the city or town for the mushing race, and you know I'm showing up when they're calling names. So that's pretty typical in this sport. Better late than never, I guess you could say.
That's right. And him and Jesse, they did pretty good in there. And I dropped them off, and I had to work, so I had to head back home. And another mushing friend, Jody Potts, she helped out after I'd left, and parked his truck up at Schandelmeyer's place and stuff like that. I raced home to get to the computer. It was amazing to watch them after I'd just dropped them off, you know. A few hours later, I was back at home watching on the computer. It was totally amazing.
So then you were involved with the Yukon Quest, the championship that Hugh won this past February. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was a true blessing. He had Jaime Vives and Bruce Hagstrom, you know, his main guys, and they're not much skilled in the driving on icy roads and everything. And he gave me a call and asked me if I could do the driving on the American side, and I said, "Well, for sure, man." And it all started down there at the dog yard, the staging area. Got them all hooked up, and JJ and Nicole helped get all the dogs hooked up, and he told me, go down to the start line and do what you do. So that's what I did about 20 minutes before the start, and that's the last time I'd seen him until Two Rivers. He come through. Well, I'd seen him in Pleasant Valley there where we usually view, but I'd never been to, like, the actual checkpoints because it's kind of limited on who can go in and out of there.
Right.
And then we seen him in Two Rivers, and he took his rest, and, you know, the hype was just building inside of me. I don't know how to explain the feeling, you know. You're actually out there on the trail handling for somebody, and it was pretty amazing. And then the journey just continued, you know, to 101, Steese there, and Central, and then on to Circle. And then when he left Circle, it was like, oh, no, my part is done. It was just
right.
Like, wow, I got to go home now because I didn't have a passport to go into Canada. And, yeah, the whole way back from Circle, it was just a feeling of, wow, I got to go home now, and these guys get to keep going after I was just so excited. And it still turned out pretty good because I got to post up while those guys were making that long journey to all the way down to Dawson. And it was pretty awesome to be able to film a little bit of that too and take pictures of Hugh, and because he loves that stuff. Get in there and, you know, you're limited on what you can do as a handler in the checkpoints.
With the dogs.
Not even allowed. Yeah, you're not even allowed to go near the dogs, and that's
right.
That was new to me. I didn't even know that part. But once I was there, you know, they're like, don't even go close because he could get some kind of penalty. And, you know, we just kind of stayed at a distance, and he'd come into the checkpoint at Central, and we actually got to watch the second quarter of the Super Bowl during the race.
That's awesome.
So cool. Yes, it was. You know, we didn't care who was winning. We were there for a race, but it was pretty awesome.
So John, let's talk a little bit about the flag. That flag has become pretty much of a story, not only in the Yukon Quest, but now in the Iditarod. It was made pretty famous at the start of the Iditarod. Tell us about that flag.
Well, he actually didn't remember asking me to make it for him, but I did. Because he's a busy guy and he's got so much going. And I put that pole together and good tape on the handle so it wouldn't, like, slip out of his hand. And just went and bought an Alaska flag from Fred Myers there and tied it up for him. And down at the staging area at the start, I pulled that thing out, and he was like, wow, it's like icing on the cake. And come to find out, he was going to, like, just drop it at the start line down there and so it wouldn't be in his way along the trail. And I said, you can drop it anywhere. He's like, no way. I'm carrying this thing all the way to Two Rivers. And he flew that thing all the way up there. That's a long way.
Yeah.
You know, you're in a race, and he's holding that thing way up there. He's pretty proud of that thing, and I was honored to have made it for him because I've seen him waving it in the Iditarod, too. That was pretty awesome.
And there's a pretty famous picture, at least in Hugh Neff's world, of that flag posted up at one of the checkpoints. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I didn't see it at a checkpoint, you know, but I wasn't looking. I was looking at the overall picture. But, yeah, I've seen, I don't know, 20 different pictures of that thing posted up online all over the place. And there's some pretty amazing pictures.
You know, Hugh wants to be the ambassador for Alaska in mushing. I think he's doing a pretty good job at that. And you know, you talk to a lot of mushers in your talks, whether it be on Facebook or just getting to know them. You talked about Brent Sass and all the guys that live up in your area. What does it take to be that good ambassador for mushing in Alaska? I know you've been around this state for a long time. I've only been up here a few years, but it is definitely a different vibe in terms of mushing than it is in the lower 48, where I, you know, cut my teeth mushing and did it down there for 15 plus years. But when you come up here, it's a wild ride. Not only is it a race and you know, mushing and doing your thing, but it becomes a lifestyle. It is all consuming for these guys. What can you share about that from your time here in the Great White North?
I'm not no pro on it, you know, but just take a look at the guy, Sonny Lindner. This guy ran and won the first Yukon Quest that they ever had, you know, and he lives just up the way on Chena Hot Springs Road there, and he's a true example of why people run this race, because it's all about the love, you know, loving the outdoors, loving the dogs, and loving the overall feeling of being out there and the elements, you know.
I totally agree, and there is not a better way to spend an afternoon or a week than to be out there with a dog team and just enjoying you know, your time and the bond that you have with your dog. So many of us, John, are just sitting in cubicles and, you know, doing our daily grind, so to speak, checking in, checking out on the old time clock, and they don't know what it's quite like to live that lifestyle that Hugh has called the Gypsy Musher lifestyle. He and I came up with that name when we first started to do this show back in October, because he wanted to showcase that. He wanted to educate folks that may be living in New York or Chicago or Miami or wherever, that you know, it isn't about just getting on the back of the sled and running dogs. It is about that bond and that lifestyle that we choose to have. But my next segment I'd like to talk about, John, is you're a huge Iditarod fan, and we're in the midst of probably one of the greatest Iditarods in the race history. It's the 40th running of the Iditarod, and our good friend Hugh Neff is involved in it and currently in 21st place the last time I checked. You know, he's not doing as well, I'm sure, as he had hoped to do. I think he had some dog problems. I have six of his dogs at my place right now. I'm the drop dog guy. But he's still doing well, plugging along. And, you know, the guys in the front, man, what a race, huh?
Oh, yeah, Dallas Seavey, you know, he came into the Quest as a rookie and won it. You know, it's anybody's game out there. And Aaron Burmeister, he's from Nome, I believe. And some of these guys that haven't been in the top for a while, they're up there. You know, Dallas and Mitch, they've been there, but Allie Zirkel and Aaron Burmeister, and there's quite a few others. Even Brent Sass, he's up there, where people that have never done the race before, you know, you wouldn't expect them to be up there. He didn't.
Right.
Brent didn't even know the name of the next checkpoint. I forget which one it was a couple days ago there. He wasn't even sure what the name of the next checkpoint was. How awesome is that? I mean, going along on a race, you know, a lot of them just love being out there.
Let's talk a little bit about Brent Sass. I know he's a good friend of Hugh's, and they've you know, spent a lot of time together out there on the trail and you know, getting to know each other. But Brent is a rookie in the Iditarod. He's definitely a Yukon Quest veteran. Do you know anything about the burning boots that Brent did in the Yukon Quest this year?
I did see that on there. He was saying to the, you know, the reporters down there that those boots hurt his feet so bad that he didn't want them anymore. So he just, right outside of town, he poured a little of that methanol cooking fuel in there and just kind of lit them on fire. He's a character, you know, and that's what I love about some of these guys, is they have character. They're not all about just being there to win, you know. They go out there to have fun in any way they can. And I thought that was pretty funny.
No kidding.
You know, it wasn't a real hazard. You know, he just poured a little bit inside the boots and, you know, had that little alcohol sterno looking flame going as he came into the finish. And it was the talk. It was the hype. It was like a real boot burner, wasn't it, Brent? You know, all those kind of comments. You just got to love that stuff.
That is awesome. And he's a rookie this year, like we mentioned a minute or two ago, doing very well. I don't know where exactly he is in the standings, but last night he was cooking right along. I believe the top rookie. It's probably going to be him as rookie of the year, don't you think?
That's the way it's looking. And I watched an insider video there of Brent's dad and one of his high school buddies from back in the day were in Unalakleet. And Brent and his dogs, they look pretty awesome. I mean, I wouldn't count him out to be top 10 because that guy knows how to run, and his dogs definitely know how to run long distance.
You know, John, we're talking to John P. Larson Johnson, probably one of Mushing's biggest fans, huge supporter of the Gypsy Musher, but not only Hugh and his team, but just about everybody. This guy, he is the fans' fan, and we got to love him for that. I know Hugh talks very highly of you, John. But let's talk about Dallas and those guys that are doing very well in the race, and he's probably going to take it. He's a young man, early 20s, I think 24, 25 years old, just screamed through the Yukon Quest last year, did very well. But what do you think about my question to you, John, since you do follow this as well, is what do you think about these dynasties that they have going on, like with the CVs and the Mackeys and the Smiths, Ramey and his brother Sim and his dad Bud and all those guys? How do you think so many of these families do so well? Is it just because they grew up with it, or is it just because of that lifestyle? What do you think, John?
All about the love. It all falls back to all about the love, you know, and I wished I would have been grown up into it because I would have probably been right there with them. But Dallas and Mitch, they're, you know, Dallas didn't much care to hang out with his dad. You know, he's a competitor, and they were kind of neck and neck there for a while, but it showed that he's wanting to win, and, you know, his dad's wanting to win too. And after Mitch's ordeal last year, almost cutting his finger off there, Mitch is looking pretty good to get right back up in the top five, you know. And there's just so many of them. Allie Zirkel and Alan Moore. It goes back. I mean, I could name names back for years, you know. But the newer people that are out there, it's just amazing. Like Dan Caduce and Jody Bailey, Lance Mackey, Braxton, Kane. I mean, it's on and on. It's just all about the love, I think. And it's just, wow, I wished I could have been in a part of that when I was growing up, but I just didn't have that opportunity.
What do you think about the old man out there on the trail, Dan Seavey? How do you think he's doing? You know, he's just kind of plugging away in one of the last positions back there, 61st, 62nd place, wherever back there. An old guy just doing his thing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can't believe I missed his name in that list. Yeah, he's one of the original Iditariders, you know. And it's just awesome to see him back out there and running three CVs in the race. And I think he's just doing what he does. I mean, 74-year-old guy, come on. I wish I could even get up and feed my dogs at 74, let alone run a 1,000-mile race.
Right.
The
Barrington Twins.
That's pretty awesome too. You know,
yeah,
they're not about the race. They're about the journey.
They're out there doing their thing, and you know, they're the poster child, I guess, of this year's race, and doing very well. You know, I know Christy is, you know, a veteran. She did a top 30 finish in 2010, and her sister's a rookie, but doing very well. They're just doing their thing, mushing together. Of course, they aren't going to win, but a lot of the guys, if you're not a top 10 team, you don't have any aspirations of winning anyway. Your whole plan is just to get out there and do your thing and finish the race. And of course, if you're doing something like Brent Sass and you just get out there and kick butt, you know, you have that possibility of cracking that top 10 where there are some elite names up there.
Sure, just like Dallas did in the Quest last year as a rookie. You know, he
right.
just did what he did. Normal routine, stuck to his schedule, and I mean, anything can happen, as it showed. And back to the Iditarod there, it's there's so many different people that are just like, you know, they say they're going to try it just to say they did the race. Next thing you know, you see them again and again, over and over, they're back. And never in the top, you know, but they're there just to experience the love.
Right, right. So in our last few minutes, John, we have about 4 minutes left, and what a better guy than to ask a huge fan of the sport is, from a fan's perspective, where do you see the Iditarod, the Yukon Quest, Copper Basin, all the races that go on? Where do you see it here in the near future? You know, there's always talk that, you know, it's just going to explode because of social media and the insider and that sort of thing. As a fan, what do you see happening in the next few years, and what could they do better? What is the next level for us armchair or virtual mushers out there that are following their races?
I don't know. I can't say exactly what's going to make it better, but it's all showing that it's getting better by all these GoPro cams that they're putting on their heads and the Alley cam, and Brent doing his little thing with a little handheld camera, and it's all progressing. And Facebook, it's just amazing what you can watch, and people just love the little comments, whether they're official or unofficial. People just live to see an update. They don't care if it's an update about Lance Mackey or about anybody that's in the race. They just love seeing it, and they live for it. People are sleep deprived right now over comments on Facebook. And when one of these guys are up there like Lance, and there's critics, there's always going to be critics, but it seems over, you know, the last couple years that it's just getting more and more to the positive side. And I don't remember ever trashing anybody on there for saying anything or doing a bad move. Or I'm all about the support. I mean, look, 1,000 miles on a dog sled. Let's see somebody do that, and then, you know, let's see them do that.
And you know what's interesting, John, is how much support these guys get if they scratch. I was looking at some of the comments on Facebook and Twitter and things this morning, and one of them just caught my eye, one of those threads about Pat Moon, and a lot of folks know about Pat, but man, what kind of support is he getting from all of his fans out there? And, you know, nobody often says, "Was man, you should have never scratched. What's wrong with you?" It's always just an outpouring of support. You don't see that in other sports, do you?
Oh, there's always someone to criticize and pick reasons of why and reasons you should have stayed in there. I mean, it's all falling back to the love of the dogs. Those guys know and those ladies know that them dogs are the real athletes out there, not the human.
Right, right. Totally agree. Well, John, we're about out of time here. I know it went quick. I do appreciate your time this afternoon being on Hugh's show and the Gypsy Musher. I'm sure he will be honored that you were on. Like I said, he talks very highly of you. You guys are buds for sure. So I'll definitely send him over the link when he gets back so he can take a listen to this as well.
Honored to be on the show, brother.
Thank you very much. I hope to meet with you soon. We'll be up that way. Maybe the Yukon Quest next year. Who knows? We hope to meet very soon. All right.
You know it. Can't wait to finally meet you.
Very good. So that's John P. Larson Johnson. Check him out on Facebook. Again, one of the true fans of mushing and the Iditarod. You got to check this guy out on Facebook. I know most people that listen are on Facebook, if not on Hugh's page. They're at least mushing fans in general. So, again, John, thank you very much. We'll talk again soon. This is Robert Forto on behalf of Hugh Neff, who is out on the Iditarod Trail. We should have him back on next week. He should be getting into Nome early this week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday if all goes well. We want to send good thoughts his way. So on behalf of him, never forget your dreams. Goodbye.